Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, December 29th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. How do you communicate with the world when you're in prison?
Having it here on site, being able to do the work here, makes a huge difference and impact.
We continue revisiting some of our favorite episodes from this year, and today we go inside a women's facility in the Valley where a newspaper is giving a voice to the incarcerated. That's coming up in just a moment.
2025. It's been a relatively quiet year, right? Well, not exactly, especially here in public radio. Thankfully, it's December, and KVPR is still here, still serving the Valley with news and information you can trust. We may have been defunded, but we're not defeated. You can keep programs like this one on the air for 2026 with your year-end donation. Give now at kvpr.org. Thanks, and happy holidays.
And now to our main story. The United States puts more people in prisons and jails than any other democracy in the world. That's according to an analysis from the Prison Policy Institute. And that means many people's lives are touched by incarceration, especially victims of crimes. Interestingly, the Prison Policy Institute also finds that victims of crime say rehabilitation and crime prevention techniques for incarcerated people are their top priorities for dealing with violence. Today, Central Valley Daily revisits our tour of a unique program at a San Joaquin Valley prison. The program is helping incarcerated people build new skills in journalism.
It's like a little city.
A little village, yeah.
It was a windy day when I and our producer, Jonathan Linden, arrived at the women's prison in the small city of Chowchilla.
We're here to visit with the Pollen Initiative.
Okay.
The newspaper, yeah.
It's officially known as the Central California Women's Facility, and it's considered one of the largest women's prisons in the U.S. The facility can house more than 2,000 incarcerated individuals. On this day, Jonathan and I are meeting up with Lieutenant Monique Williams. She's a spokesperson for the prison and also our escort for our visit.
Ooh-wee, it is a windy day in Chowchilla.
Monique takes us through two locked gates, which only open one at a time for security reasons. And then once we're through those, we have to go through another gate.
I'm actually opening the gate for another line of defense.
Once we've made it through all those security measures, we finally meet up with two individuals who are actually incarcerated at this prison. We meet them in the prison's media center.
So we are standing in TV studio, which is an area of the prison reserved for our media. It's combined with our media specialist who puts movies on our TV channel throughout the institution, and he also takes pictures and has other responsibilities. And what used to be a small classroom, which is now our newsroom.
That's Amber Bray. She's the editor-in-chief of a newspaper being produced inside the prison.
Now, this kind of looks like a college classroom, right? Mm-hmm. Like an education classroom.
And that's the voice of Kanoa Harris Penang. He's another incarcerated person at this facility. Kanoa is the managing editor of the newspaper, which is called The Paper Trail. We were interested in learning more about this unique operation inside this prison in Chowchilla. It's run by and for incarcerated people and launched in the fall of 2024 with the help of the Pollen Initiative. That's a nonprofit dedicated to launching prison-run newspapers. That initiative also helped start a newspaper at the state prison in San Quentin. Amber starts us out by explaining why the idea for a newspaper came to be.
So the need for a newspaper arises because we've never had one. We don't have anything that is at a female facility, or at least we hadn't until Paper Trail when Pollen Initiative came in and proposed the idea. Prior to that, it was San Quentin. That's all we had was San Quentin news. So the women's voices and stories were not heard. So we wanted to be able to amplify that and show what we're doing here to better ourselves and how we even better the community, which many people don't know.
And so, like Amber said, there wasn't anything prior to Paper Trail. And we relied on, well, the females relied on outside sources. And so having it here on site, being able to do the work here, the interviews here, and get the voices, the ladies' voices out, makes a huge difference and impact.
So what does your process look like for putting together an edition?
So we accept pitches from our contributing writer, from our board members, to see what stories, you know, are feasible. What can we put out? What, you know, what is of interest to the population and to our outside readership? From then, the writer goes, writes their story, sends it back. That gets sent out for outside edits. Once it comes back from the editor, then the writer will come and work on it, address whatever points need to be addressed, and send it back out. And if it's good to go, then it gets published.
And who's your audience?
We pretty much have, I think, three audiences. We have the inside population. We have our outside community members and people throughout the world who are reading it. And then we have the staff, because we're also highlighting some of how we interact with them, because we can't do a lot of what we do if we didn't have support from the staff. So we're trying to appeal to everybody. And with our reach being 850,000 just in the United States, not to mention what happens throughout the world, you know, we have a fairly large reach, which is great, but also intimidating.
So I know you print a physical paper too that's circulated here at the prison, and then it's online as well. Is that how people outside the prison are reading your work?
Yeah, so we print 35,000 copies every month that get circulated from the governor all the way down to every single prison and everybody in between. And then people can access the website and see, you know, read a copy there or print their own copy if they want.
So what's that like for you? I mean, this is a relatively new endeavor, and to have a voice to the outside world, has that resonated with you personally? What's that been like?
It's empowering for me to be able to assist the female population in getting their stories heard and their voices out. It's very important that that happens. It's only been in throughout the male facilities so far, and so we've had a really good response from the community, and it's awesome to see, because the female population has been silenced for so long. So this gives an opportunity for voices to get out and people to really understand the dynamics and what's going on and the emotional side of it, because there's this component, right? And so it's awesome.
Driving here, I noticed what a big facility this is. There's an auto shop and a plumbing shop and a lot of different places for people to be involved. How have you attracted people to the media center? Did people come eager to participate? And how many people are helping you write these stories and are pitching you ideas?
So right now we only have our first cohort who are contributing. We can accept other submissions, but we haven't really gone down that road yet. Friday, we're starting our second cohort. So we're really looking forward to that and broadening, you know, who can contribute and who's going to be able to tell stories.
So why the name The Paper Trail?
That was another thing that was voted on. You know, and when we're looking at doing any kind of appeal or grievance or something like that internally, you have to have a paper trail. You have to have your documentation. So that was kind of the thought process behind that name being suggested and ultimately voted on.
And how did joining this paper and kind of finding your voice through journalism help you personally and how you manage day to day? Has it given you a lift? Has it just added depth to your life, or has it just been something that you enjoy doing and checking off your list?
So for me, my last job was chairperson of our Inmate Advisory Council. So it was all about advocacy and trying to get population, you know, things that they need or advocate for different policy changes, things like that. So this is me being able to advocate in a different way with a larger audience and to show some of the disparities that women have versus men, you know, that sort of thing. So it's been empowering.
And for me, I've always been a writer since a child. When I didn't speak, I wrote what I needed to say to my teachers, to my family. And so it just kind of followed me through my adult life. And then being in this capacity, like Amber, it's about advocacy, right? I love to help others, especially elevate their voice and what's going on within. And so this is a part of that journey. This is just another part of that journey, and it's something that I love to do. And so I put those two together, and here I sit.
That was my conversation with Amber Bray and Kanoa Harris Penang. Both are incarcerated individuals at the Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla. This past fall, Amber and Kanoa helped launch a newspaper inside the prison called The Paper Trail. If you'd like to check out their latest stories, you can visit ccwfpapertrail.org. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.